Morning. Boyne County Board of Supervisors, September 24th, 2019. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda? Meet with department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Boyne County Auditor.
Good morning. Got all of our candidate papers in. I'm ready for the, tonight is, we have to be open till five because it is the withdrawal and objection deadline. If anybody decides they want to withdraw for being candidate, they have until 5 p.m. tonight. And today is also.
What's objection?
If somebody objects to a certain candidate.
Oh, no, they say Tom's not a citizen of Des Moines County or something, okay.
Yeah, or not a resident of that school district or whatever. They can send objection papers. And then I have to send my certification letter to all the other counties to let them know who our candidates are for our school districts that are in their counties, and I gotta get their letter from them, so we're still in the ordering phase. So once we get that completed, then we wait for the printers to send us copies of our ballots so that we can check them and everything else, so.
So if somebody doesn't like us, we can object to them running in.
Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome. Next person.
Mike Johnscone, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Morning, Tom. We had a couple of discussions. Hope things will slow down, so we're all good at this point.
Let your deputies know that they're glad they're all okay.
Yeah, it was a tragedy for the whole community, you know, and I think we all look at that. We look for ways to stop that from ever happening again, you know, but we'll remember and find some solutions to that. It doesn't happen again.
Thanks, Mike. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Well, we are in the middle of doing our flu clinics along with.
I'm just checking, I didn't miss it. Sometimes when there's, don't worry about it, there's, it's hard to see people sometimes. I didn't want to miss anybody. Go ahead, Krista.
So along with our Tuesday, Thursday immunization clinics that we have from 1:30 to 4, this Friday, the 27th, and Monday, the 30th, we're doing walk-in flu clinics open to the public. No appointments needed or anything. They come in from 8:30 to 4 o'clock anytime during that time and get flu shots.
What's that cost?
$35 for the regular flu shot. The high dose is 50. And we're also giving the pneumonia shots.
Thank you, Krista. Angie Vaughn, Safety.
Good morning. Don't have too much for you guys. We got our C3 de-escalation training starting in October. Excellent training. I sent out emails yesterday. We worked very hard to make sure everybody understood how the schedule was. We're gonna do 6 days for 3 hours and then six times for 3 hours and another six times for 3 hours because it's two parts. So the employees need to have part one and part two. It's a 6 hour training in total. But it's an excellent training, so I look forward to getting everyone there. And
I've been kind of anxious for this, so yeah, I'm glad about that. And I encourage any county employees to take this. It's dealing with someone that might have a mental health issues or and trying to de-escalate a situation. So yep. Yeah, I think that would be excellent training. Thanks,
yeah,
Angie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, so.
Janelle Nally-Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning. Just one last reminder that property taxes are due next Monday. Other than that, let's
start on that one. Thank you. Doug Irvine, Correctional Center Administrator.
Good morning. Everything's about the same. Population still high at 103, holding approximately 30 out of county. Been keeping busy, got everybody through, getting everybody through jail school, which is 20-hour school that is required of correctional officers. And also we just updated our policy book, which was a big venture. It's a lot of policies and stuff that the Crime Commission helped us complete that.
I had a meeting with Kelly and Terry, and they said you did an excellent job. They wanted to pass that on, so I haven't told the board yet.
Pass it on to the sheriff for me?
Does that come with victories?
What was
was that? I missed it.
Thank you. Yeah, they're easy to work with, and they help us out a lot.
They was really pleased, so.
Good. Well, thank you for playing that.
Thank you, Doug. IT.
Just keep busy like always. Don't really have anything new to report, so.
Thanks, Colin. Conservation, Chris Lee.
Not exactly related to us, but half of Lake Geo's campground is open. Finally, they opened the gate yesterday at noon, and I went out there right when they did. I wanted to see the improvements and talk to the guys. If you've camped at Geo before, you know, just pulling in there and looking at it, you know, it doesn't look like it's changed a whole lot, but so much of the changes are the stuff you can't see. So it's a whole new sewer system. It's all new electrical. They got 50 amp service for all the electric sites now. They put in some new pull-through sites. They did, I think, 18 full hookup sites. New water system, new dump station, new shower house. They are, at least, they got 48 sites out of the 90 that they have there are open. So they eliminated some of the tent sites because as the industry's going, very few people are tent camping anymore. It's getting more towards the RV side of things. That's open. There were campers pulling in there yesterday. So it's good. It's great to have a renewed outdoor recreation amenity here in the community here. And maybe that'll alleviate some of the wait list that we have at Big Hollow. Because even as of just this last weekend, we were full and we're turning people away still here well into September. So a lot of folks want to camp, and so now we've got some more opportunity to camp.
Was it just yesterday they opened?
Yep. So they're not taking reservations because they have to. It's actually a third-party company that they use for the reservation systems, and so the IT people up in Des Moines are having to update all that because their site numbers have changed because they changed the numbers of sites that they have. Redid their layouts and everything, so they've got to update maps, update site numbers, update prices, and all that. And so they won't be taking reservations this year. Probably looking at that opened sometime in the spring, I'm guessing, to take reservations for next year. And so, but you can go out there, you know, it's first come, first serve now for the rest of this season. And I do believe, like us, they shut down at the end of October.
So, Chris.
And now we have an agenda item today.
When will the lake be open?
Well, they've got a new contractor, and they are tentatively optimistic that they'll have it open next spring, early summer. Now, that's going to depend on conditions. If we have another wet spring, or if we have, you know, bad working conditions through the winter, you know, that'll change things. It's just a matter of being able to get down in there. They've got a lot of silt left to remove out of there. Last I knew, I think they'd only gotten about half of it removed before they had all that wet weather and lake filled back up. And so, you know, a lot of projects only about half done in the lake itself. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things, you know, construction can ramp up pretty fast if they get the right conditions. And so I know they had to get a new contractor. So they'll be starting on that as soon as conditions allow them to. And then I know they're going to push real hard to try to get that done. You know, that's one of those things they would have loved to have seen that done this year. But you want to do it right. And so, you know, they had that big setback, well, a lot of different setbacks, but, you know, if it takes another year, yeah, I'd rather see that drag out so that they get the project done right and to the fullest degree that they wanted to, rather than, you know, only have it partially done and say, well, you know, we're so far behind schedule, we're just going to pull the plug here. So, and even after they get that done and the lake fills back up, it's still going to be probably 2 years before you get much of a fishery left in there, because I'll have to restock it, the fish will have to grow. So we're probably looking at, you know, 2021, 22, 23 before you really got, you know, the outdoor recreation, other than, you know, boating and kayaking and stuff. But getting the fisheries back, you're looking at a few more years. So, but it's coming. So it'll be awesome with that, for sure.
Thanks, Chris. Secondary roads.
Good morning. Pleasant Grove and Sperry Roads are still closed, still working. So both of them are coming along good. Poured the bridge deck last Friday and poured the main line last Monday or Tuesday. Ran together. Things are coming along and start to work towards, well, Pleasant Grove will wrap up. We should be able to open it sometime, I would think, next week. Sperry's got a little bit more work ahead of it. So And I wouldn't say thanks to public health. They came out to our office and did flu shots. So it saves our guys all getting to a different spot at different times. It makes it a lot more efficient, I guess, is what I would say. So thank you for having them come out. And I think conservation might have come over. Sometimes you guys do. But so that worked out really well. It's nice of them to take that time to do that.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks for getting them speed bumps on the highway, the old highway out there down.
I'll mention that. Then we have some other stuff to mill. We haven't had our mill on our grinder on our skid loader for 2 years because of just haven't had time, to be honest with you. So that was just kind of making sure everything ran. We have a lot more to do. We're going to try to get done in the county and then get it put away so we can move on to other things. That's a labor-intensive function because you have to run traffic control when you do it.
Yeah.
So that was just kind of the beginning, but no problem. I knew they worked out in that area. I hadn't been out there yet. So.
Did a good job.
Good.
Thank you. Jared, land use.
Land use, pretty normal. We've been keeping busy this week. We've got a couple items on the agenda, a couple of minor subdivisions. And I had another one recorded last week. And then later this Thursday, we're going to have a Board of Adjustment meeting to address several variance requests. Zach attended a meeting in Lee County in Fort Madison last week pertaining to the updated floodplain study for the along the Skunk River. And so as we anticipated, the Des Moines side of that, Des Moines County side, pretty uneventful, essentially looking at the matter we had discussed at a meeting at our regional planning office last year about those this area of private agricultural levees south of 61, which would based on the stats of those levees, that area and the low-lying area would be considered 100-year floodplain. More of an issue on the Lee County side regarding the status of the levees for the Green Bay district, but that was the bulk of the discussion. So, apart from that, nothing really noteworthy this week.
Thank you. Did I miss anybody? I don't think so. Okay. Correspondence. See, did either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
No,
I haven't.
We'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have a public hearing for the sale of mineral rights to U.S. Gypsum. Anita.
Move to go into public hearing.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. do you want to speak first, Chris? Or?
So this is the end, near the end of a long process. We started back with USG. They approached us, the Conservation Board, about acquiring some mineral rights underneath Big Hollow and as an expansion of their existing mine. And so being that it is technically a real estate sale, after we did the we had a private attorney review the contract and everything, and it was actually them that said it's technically a real estate sale. And so rather than this just passing through the Conservation Board, it passes through the Board of Supervisors here with public hearing and everything. And so that's what has spurred this.
Is someone from Gypsum like to say? What I'm going to do is, if you guys would like to say anything, then I'm going to ask for public comment. Then, if the board has any comments, and so you feel free to jump in at any time. I might have a couple questions for you. Is there anything you'd like to start off with?
Not at this time, sir.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this sale? Did you get any calls or emails or?
Okay.
I've got unless you gentlemen want to go first, I've got a couple questions. This is something obviously I don't know anything about, the board doesn't know very much about, but I went online to try to figure out what gypsum's worth. That's not very easily found. I found one on a general mineral rights discussion for gypsum. And a guy called in and says, currently a gypsum company is mining off my land from a contract signed in 1960 at 15 cents a ton. Currently they're wanting to mine a new property, which means a new contract. Does anyone know what price per ton should be for the gypsum? Hard to find information on gypsum, so I'm looking for help. So this guy comes back, it says, gypsum prices have not kept up with inflation over the past 10 years. This is from 2012. And it appears that you are getting a fair price given the basic economics of the industry. If you think the prices will go up during the life of your property, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I guess the thing that we went through is, the numbers we got is that there's 20 and a half or 21 acres, and there's 615,000 gross tons, and 75% of that is net tons. What is the 25%, is that those pillars, the 35 foot square or whatever they are, pillars? Yep. So then about, and the others is 75%. With, if I take gross ton, that $30,000 and 750, that's 5 cents a ton.
Yes, sir.
So anyway, and I don't know, you're the only gypsum company out there, I guess, does everybody get paid about the same when you buy that land from everybody? Is this what?
It depends on the area. It depends on the competition. It depends on if it's underground, if it's surface. There are a lot of factors that go into it to determine what the price will be.
Okay. I will, like I said, I haven't gotten, I just wanted to ask, we're getting a fair price, and we'll take your word for it. And the other thing that bothered me is there's no protection for the county, any sort of a liability. And I know that you're down 600 feet or something like that, but some years ago, I believe it was a salt mine in Louisiana, and the lake went into the salt mine. If Big Hollow went into the gypsum mine and the county had a recreational mud pit, I'm not sure that would carry the same value for the county as Big Hollow Recreation Area. Is there any insurance or any assurances? Because you get a mine underneath it, and then in case of emergency, you can go anywhere, drill down, and no problem with any of that. I would like to see the county protected from any sort of a potential liability or damages. I suspect that the prospects aren't very high, so it shouldn't be very much to insure.
The 20 acres that we are purchasing just catches the north, kind of northwest part of the lake. The way the water tables are in this area, the way the geography is in this area, water runs more horizontally versus vertically. So from a protection standpoint, from the company standpoint, we would be more concerned about the 40 to 50 miners that are underground if we have an influx of water versus the lake. So we will be doing everything that we can, just like we have over the past 60 years, to minimize any effect that it'll have on the county lake.
Or anything. And I'm sure that mine's located under a great deal of farmland, residential land, and everything like that. Do any of those properties protected? I mean, is there any insurance provided for any of those properties?
No, sir. No, we've been mining since 1959 is when we started sinking the first shafts at the plant. So we've been there over 60 years. Out of that time frame, right now the mine covers approximately 2 square miles underground. And if you go out and walk that whole 2 square miles, you'll see no depressions on the surface at this point.
But I understood that. But I guess what I'm saying is, are there any of the contracts you have, because you would have a contract with each landowner, I'm assuming?
We have purchased the mineral rights.
The mineral rights,
from
yeah.
the landowners, right. Just like we're requesting from the county.
Do any of those contracts contain any insurance requirement that U.S. Gypsum protects them in case of damage to their farmland or their property?
No. Okay.
I guess
you have the mineral rights. You have mineral rights all minerals or just gypsum?
Just gypsum. Yep.
So if you strike silver or gold,
just gypsum.
Okay, well, I did, that's what I ran across with my concerns, and like I said, you guys know what it's worth and what you need, and if that the rest of the contracts are that way,
actually, our purchase agreement for this is actually a whole lot less than what the rest of them are.
Less what?
From rights that the company has.
Okay.
Well, I don't see any other mining company out there wanting to go down for 20 acres, and I don't think we ever will. So.
And John, sure. As I understand it, isn't there a large shelf, sort of stone shelf, that you guys are actually going to need?
When you look at the geography, right above the gypsum, there's a very thick layer of dolomite. And so as we leave our pillars, the dolomite actually acts as a beam that helps support all the ground up above it. And then above the dolomite, there's probably 250 to 350 foot of shale, depending on the area you're at. The shale layer prevents the water from going vertically and only allows it to go horizontally above the shale.
What's dolomite?
Dolomite, it's like a limestone.
Okay, okay. Sort of rock, okay.
Yeah, it's a hard rock.
Are there any other public comments?
Public hearing.
Second. Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Hey, gentlemen, we have a mineral rights purchase agreement that has been discussed the other day and today.
I will move to approve.
Anybody want me to read this purchase agreement? I suspect not.
You didn't ask us.
I'm asking now.
No, I don't.
No.
Well, okay. Go for it, I'm coming for it.
Okay. Have a motion?
Yes.
Bob made motion, I second.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Terry?
Okay. Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes.
Do we need to explain where the money's going?
That might be, Chris, if you want to touch base on that, where the
conservation board was going. My salary?
What?
As I understood, that was my salary.
I'm pretty sure that wasn't my understanding.
Okay. No, so this will, as the rest of Big Hollow funds, will go back into the park, and we've actually earmarked this revenue to go towards, we're ramping up a big watershed project, kind of like what GEOD has done, only we're doing it kind of on the front side before we get a bunch of nasty stuff in the lake. And so this is going to go towards that. That will help fund a lot of water quality monitoring that we're going to be starting in the spring. And then into the future, hopefully this will help leverage further grants for watershed improvement projects within the watershed. Big Hollow has about a 4,400 acre watershed, which actually includes the gypsum facility itself. And so this will help go towards that. We're in the process of contracting, and we got a grant to do a comprehensive EPA approved watershed plan. So we're going to be establishing that in consultation with the Soil and Water District and the NRCS over the course of the next year to 18 months, get that in place, and then hopefully that will feed us into the pipeline for state and federal funding, which oftentimes requires local match, which some of these funds will be put towards.
If you have any funds left over, I'd like to see you start on that handicap access for the beach.
We got
I lots keep getting hit up on that.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of plans for the park, so yeah, it can kind of feed into that. As the park revenue does, that'll help feed into kind of the bigger picture of park improvement, watershed improvement, all of that.
I think that's something we ought to be working on pretty fast.
Yeah.
Because of the way that you got the park, it was bought by somebody else, a third party, and gave it to you, and that's why those mineral rights have to go back in there and not our general fund.
Yeah, so the park was purchased in a lot of different ways, but we, so on the front side of this process, we had to consult with the National Park Service and the Iowa DNR, who is the fiduciary agent for Land and Water Conservation Fund grants, which we've gotten multiple of over the years. And so we actually had to get approval from the National Park Service to even move this agreement forward. And due to that, you know, they want to see anything that's going to affect outdoor recreation within the park, which not that this necessarily would because it's 600 feet underground, but any revenue derived from the park needs to go back into the park, you know, from sale of, you know, commercial sale of things. And so they like to see that going back into the park. They weren't, well, I think they helped acquire some of the parcels for the lake, but then a lot of the lock-on grant has gone towards the building of the lake, the building of the campground, things lot. Like that. So, a lot of different players involved when it comes to, you know, a big comprehensive park like this.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. We have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $1,529.90 and non-cash taxable reimbursement claims in the amount of $75.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a resolution revising and updating the 2080 agreement to the city-county health care plan. This is really, they're not changing the plan. There were a number of amendments added to it over the years, and have new members. This is basically just cleaning it up. So, be it hereby resolved that the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors hereby resolves approves the revised and updated City County Health Care Plan 2080 agreement dated September 18th, 2019. Be it further resolved that the Des Moines County Chairman is hereby authorized to execute all documents necessary to carry out the intent of this amendment.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We need to cancel outstanding treasurer's checks that have been outstanding for more than 1 year as of June 30th. The following treasurer checks have been outstanding for more than 1 year as of June 30th and are hereby canceled. The amount of these checks is $708 and has been deposited in the General Basic Fund as a journal entry. Sincerely, Deborah Moore.
Move to approve.
Second.
Didn't we just do something here a while back?
That was for... that was from the auditors, yeah. You have to, the law says we have to cancel those checks after they've been outstanding for a year. We got a motion, second, right? Yeah. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. I think what happens to a lot of those checks is they get lost in the system because they call some of the people sometimes and they said they'd cash them once they get into the... federal, whatever they, who knows?
Well, they don't have my bank account or they wouldn't lose them.
We have a proclamation for the Domestic Violence Awareness Month, October 2019. Whereas domestic violence, dating violence, and stalking affects women, children, and men of all racial, cultural, and economic backgrounds, causing long-term physical, psychological, and emotional harm. And whereas one in three Americans has witnessed an incident of domestic violence, and whereas children who experience domestic violence are at a higher risk for failure in school, mental illness, substance abuse, suicide, and may choose violence as a way to solve the problems later in life, whereas domestic violence in rural communities exists as a hidden, silent, and often unrecognized crime that is often underreported, And whereas through the inspiration, courage, and persistence of victims of domestic violence, their children and advocates, our communities are learning to recognize the impact of violence in the home and within intimate relationships. And whereas the Domestic Violence Intervention Program has worked to end violence in intimate relationships for more than 40 years through the collaborative partnerships of advocates, volunteers, local municipalities, criminal justice, health and human services, faith communities, business leaders, and private citizens. And whereas our community's achievements should be commended, and we must continue our commitment to respect and support victims of domestic violence and to prevent future violence in our community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that we, the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, do hereby proclaim the month of October 2019 to be Domestic Violence Awareness Month in Des Moines County, Iowa, and urge all citizens to work together to eliminate domestic violence, dating violence, and stalking from our community.
So my name is Allison, and I'm the role manager here for Domestic Violence Intervention Program, and I just wanted to thank you for reading the proclamation. Tiffany here has some stats, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We can
I didn't realize that's who you were.
Yeah.
No, that's no problem at all.
Yeah, I didn't want to like get up in the middle of
you. You might
want to, so.
The press is over there.
So in the past year in Des Moines County, we have served 240 individuals. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not a super high number, but it's 240 too many. We've been in the Des Moines County area since 2013, and each year, like, our numbers just get higher and higher, whether it's the problem is increasing or our awareness is increasing, I don't know. But we're very grateful that we do have people coming to us that we are able to support. I just wanted to give a quick spiel and say thank you again for the proclamation and declaring Domestic Violence Awareness Month for October. If you guys have any questions.
Thank you for the work you're doing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you know anything about much about the program? I was at an 8 judicial meeting here a couple weeks ago, and there's a program when these people have domestic violence, they have to go through a 24-hour program, and it seems to be working out for them pretty well.
Yeah, I know we get a lot of calls about it just because it changed the name and it's so close to ours. I've spoke with some in the judicial system about the program and how it's working, and it does seem like it is effective and that it is helping. It's like while we focus in on our victim survivors, I'm always recognize that we don't have intervention services for those who've been accused of perpetrating the abuse either, and so I'm hopeful that that program is really doing what it needs to, just to kind of eliminate it, because no matter how much work we do, like, it takes both sides to really fix the problem.
And work hand in hand, the two programs,
Yep, so we're always happy to try to steer people in the right direction, but that program itself we don't do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Could you give us your names again?
My name is Allison Peterson, and I guess I could let them introduce
Tiffany
themselves.
Tiffany Strickland, advocate.
Corey Brewer, advocate.
Thank you all.
They're shy. They don't like to come up here and talk with me, so thank you.
Thank you again.
You have shelters here?
We do not. So in 2013, the state of Iowa regionalized their victim service programming. And there were over 30 shelters in the state at that point in our area. We had one in Burlington, we had one in Keokuk. As of now, there are 8 throughout the entire state of Iowa. The only shelter south of I-80 is in Oskaloosa. And our shelter is in Iowa City. So it's a barrier that we work with, but we get creative on ways to get people to safety if getting to Oskaloosa or Iowa City or wherever it might be isn't an option for one reason or another.
Thank you. We need a motion to support this proclamation.
Move to approve the proclamation.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Thank you again.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, we have a Class C liquor license for Hy-Vee for the Corwin wedding at Barn on the Ridge on October 17th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a Class C liquor license application for the Hy-Vee for the Gogagos wedding at Barn on the Ridge for November 7th.
Move to approve. Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And we have a Class C liquor license application for Hy-Vee for the Stevens wedding at Barn on the Ridge for November 27th.
Move to approve. Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have a resolution and final plat for the TK Langenfelder subdivision. I'm guessing that's you, Jared.
Yep. TK Langenfelder, this is a one lot, minor subdivision in southwest Franklin Township on 170th Avenue, just north of Olympic Road and fairly close to the northwest of Big Hollow, just a general frame of reference there. So it involves the creation of one lot, approximately 1.4 acres. So presently, the parcel that's being carved out of contains two residences, one owned by the parents of the subdivider, who are the owners of the property, the subdivider, Mr. Lingenfelter, and his wife currently reside in a manufactured home on the south end of that property. And they plan to build a new residence in place of that one, and would require having it in their own name for a mortgage for that property. So that's the reason for creating this subdivision, so there'd be a separate lot for that residence. Pretty straightforward reasoning behind that. Our review process, nothing really significant in terms of comments from Secondary Rose. We did get the comment that the new residents would need to use the existing entrance for the driveway that the current home already does, and I spoke to the subdivider and that was already his intention to use that same driveway. And then the typical, as is typical with some of these subdivisions lately where it's been proposed for a new residence, the health department approved it with no assurance that the land would be appropriate for a septic system, but just the understanding that they would need to apply for a permit and have a system constructed prior to occupying the house. So with that in mind, we've included two conditions on the, or in this case it would just be one condition for the subdivision, that a permit for on-site wastewater treatment system shall be obtained from the health department prior to construction of a new residence and a code compliance system installed prior to habitation. Apart from that, that seems to be everything for that subdivision, so we would recommend approval of TK Lincoln Felter subdivision with that added condition.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
John Broder.
Yes. We'll get them signed after that. We've got another one for you. We have a resolution and final plat for the Gerst subdivision.
Yeah, this is a relatively similar situation here with one lot intended for a new residence from the family member of the current property owner. So in this case, the property is located in Tama Township to the northeast of Burlington on 125th Street. So it just to the east of Tama Road, and it totals approximately 5.4 acres. So the property is currently contains part of a farm and residence owned by parents of the subdivider, and he's interested in developing a home for his own family just to the south of that one. And that's the intent of lot one in this case. In terms of the comments we received, again, pretty straightforward, essentially that's a similar situation where secondary roads, the comment was that one new entrance will be allowed and a permit will need to be approved by their office. In this case, there is no existing driveway, so we would recommend including then a condition on a resolution that the Secondary Roads Department will allow exactly one new entrance off 125th Street, and a permit would need to be obtained prior to installation. And then, once again, same thing with the Health Department, since it's be a new residence built on that property, they approved on the condition that they would need to get a permit for that septic system before occupying the house. So once again, include a condition that the wastewater treatment system permit needs to be obtained prior to construction, and a co-compliant system needs to be installed prior to habitation. We did have a little snag with this one regarding the fence waiver. There was sounded like there was a little misunderstanding with the neighboring property owner about the intent of that, specifically due to the fact that neither property owner currently owns livestock. So it took a little while there, but they threw a consultation with the owner of the ground of the land and the people that actually farm it. They were able to come to an understanding there, and this past week the fence waiver has been signed. So with that in mind, we would recommend approval of Gerst subdivision with those two added conditions.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Yeah. Get these signed for you after the meeting.
Yep.
Thank you, Ed. We have a resolution approving the 2080 agreement providing for joint or cooperative action between Des Moines County and West Burlington for information technology maintenance. This is, we had a work session with Colin, Mr. Gerst, last week or the week before.
Last week.
Last week, anyway, and discussed this, so.
Yeah, basically this is an alteration of an agreement we already have in place that the old IT director, Dean Harrison, in my office created many years ago for us to help provide service for West Burlington. Hasn't been used in a long time, but after talking with Brad Newberry, the IT director out there, we decided to alter it to basically allow, in a nutshell, if one of the entities, if one of the IT departments is indisposed or really there's a large emergency where they need help, we'll cross help each other to maintain the network. And there's services on our network that they use in terms of our VPN software, our Shield software, records software. So us being up and being viable is important to them as well. So, and then if you guys have any other questions about it.
Thanks, Colin.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. tell Joe. Bob's got his hand over. Jim signed it. Yeah, you did.
Didn't initially, though.
Okay, we have a personnel action for the correctional center. We have Austin Dunham, a full-time correctional officer, an 18-month step increase. Previous rate was $39,522.03 a year. The new rate is $40,396.34 a year.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Is that Nathan?
Tom Roper.
Yes.
No.
Any relation?
I don't think it's any relation.
I just wondered if it was.
Yeah, it is on.
The West Burlington Police Board.
We have the minutes from the September 17th Board of Supervisors meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Any other business? Future agenda items.
I have none.
Committee reports.
Well, I attended Southeast Iowa Crime Commission, the State Fair Juvenile Detention. And needless to say, even though your stats are high for the jail, since officially it started in July, we've only had 35 days of juveniles down at our detention center. Last year at this time, we had 140 days. So that's quite a difference.
I think they all turned 18.
that's good.
No, that is good news.
So, looks to me like the juvenile's going in the right way. They call it days, but even though there's not 140 days since been there, but there could be two or three. If there's three out there, then that's 3 days. So. Then I attended an Iowa workforce meeting, and this realignment is going to take place. So it's, I've got the CEOs, which is supervisors that's on the board, Louisa, Lee, Des Moines and Henry County. We have a meeting next Monday up in Muscatine with the other three counties, four counties up north of us. It was clear up into Dubuque. So see how that realignment goes. Until then, I don't know too much about it, but we're going to try to keep the satellite office here in Burlington. And the board's going to change, and the state, if anybody goes on the board now, it's up to the CEOs to put them on the board. Now, if anybody's going on the board, it's going to be up to the state. The state's taking that power away. So the only thing that I can see about it is we're just there to kind of protect the federal money, which the state's supposed to protect. But if anything happens, if they happen to lose a bunch of money or something, the counties are responsible for it, and that's where the
buck stops here.
Yep, the buck stops here. So. And then I attended an early childhood meeting, and as you know, we're getting ready to start seeing where some of this funding is going to go. Last year, we only got 33% of the funding, and we did 43% of the, had 43% of the need. So I am on that board, so we're going to see if we can't turn some of that around. And we have to have that done by the end of October. And I attended the community action meeting, and everything was pretty status quo there. There wasn't any big change in it. It's just a meeting we had and have. Then you guys, I went to this Iowa Bankers Association thing that had. And I don't know a lot about banking, you know, but
company really hit hard there is these credit unions. I was unaware that the credit unions don't pay taxes. That's hurting the counties, and it's hurting the state and everything. And they're trying to get, they're starting to buy some of these little banks out, you know, these mom and pop banks, and so it's hurting at the local level.
It's been a sore spot with the bank for quite a while.
So, and that's all I had.
I did a regional planning meeting this week. Guess there wasn't anything too earth shaking or that. His crew would be here telling you about it. Didn't pass that Great River Housing Trust Fund, though, that you guys passed last week. That's a bit.
I attended a meeting of the Mental Health and Disability Services Commission, and they we approved the rules for the new children's mental health system, the changes in the administrative rules for chapter 25 of the Iowa Code, but we just approved them to notice. They run it through the commission, so after we approve them, then they can be put on the website, and they have to sit on the website for 30 or 60 days, and everybody gets to comment on them. And then about 2 months later, they'll come back for final approval. So they're usually modified a little bit or amended the public comment period, but anyway, and that's all I had. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to speak to the board, please give us your name, address for the record. Seeing no one rise with an eye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned.